I decided, as this is for Marjorie, the least I can do is start on time. Can you please ensure that your mobiles are switched off or at least to silent? Thank you. And so, family and friends, as we continue to follow Marjorie's wishes, we've gathered here today in the presence of God to give thanks and to remember the life of Marjorie Taylor. We come because it's been a pleasure to know her and to remember how she touched each of our lives. We will sing the hymns that Marjorie has chosen, listen to Bible reading, share memories of her as we give thanks for Marjorie's life together. And so for her, let us remember her fondly and smile together as we have this last celebration for her here. We thank God, who holds the keys of life and death, for Marjorie's life. We come to remember who she was to each one of us, to give thanks for her love for each of you and for those that are left to mourn her loss. Marjorie chose our opening hymn that speaks to the enduring and comforting nature of God's love, the abiding love that provides a foundation of peace, of assurance and hope during the toughest of times. She knew, didn't she? She knew. Let's sing together, In Heavenly Love Abiding. If you're able, please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we celebrate not just a life that has ended, but a legacy that continues. As we begin this service for Marjorie, open our eyes to see the many ways that her life continues to influence and inspire our own. In the values she instilled, the tradition she established, the love that she freely gave, and the example that she set, her presence remains. Though she's no longer with us, her impact lives on in who we are and what we do. Remind us, Lord, that a life well lived continues to bear fruit long after earthly days are done. Help us to honour Marjorie with our commitment to carry forward the best of who she was in how we choose to live. Be especially near to those whose grief is freshest, the family members whose daily lives will feel her absence more keenly. Though they walk through the shadows now, guide them towards your light of understanding and acceptance. Transform our mourning into a celebration of life eternal. Grant us perspective to see beyond this moment of parting to the hope of reunion, beyond the pain of loss to the peace of remembrance, beyond the finality of death to the promise of life eternal with you. Amen. And so we'll say the prayer that Jesus taught us, and the words are on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so a passage of scripture that was special to Marjorie, 1 Corinthians 13, entitled The Way of Love. I always call it the love chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, when it is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And it's that love that sustained Marjorie through her life. And now Johnny will bring us the tribute from her family.
Marjorie was born and bred in Yorkshire, where her strong sense of community and faith was shaped by a large Methodist family. Church was a central part of her life from the beginning, not just a place of worship, but a centre of her social world too. It was through church that she met her husband, Eric, and they married in the chapel of Yeadon Methodist Church on the 27th of March, 1958. Shortly after, they welcomed two daughters, the beginning of a family Marjorie cherished with all her heart. In time, Eric's work took the family down south, first to Essex and later to Loudwater. But Yorkshire was never far from their heart, and in 1980, Marjorie and Eric returned north, settling in Clifton, which would become home to Marjorie for the next 39 years. Eric, however, sadly passed away from cancer in 1996, and Marjorie had to adjust to her life on her own. She continued to live out her faith as an active and devoted member of the church community, and it is through the support of her friends and family that she was able to flourish. Of equal importance to shaping a life well lived was her long-standing involvement with the Inner Wheel, where she gave her time and her friendship generously, forming deep connections and supporting causes close to her heart. In 2018, Marjorie moved to Hazelmere to be closer with her growing family. Surrounded by her daughters, five grandchildren, and, in 2023, the arrival of her first great-grandchild, her final years were rich in love, laughter, and legacy. Marjorie was a shy person by nature. She didn't always feel comfortable speaking in new groups, and she was never one to push herself forward. But she had a group of very close, loyal friends, not least the wonderful ladies of Trinity Place, who made her feel welcome, valued, and included, right up to the very end. Their kindness and friendship meant a great deal to her and to us. In her later years, Marjorie enjoyed the simple things that brought her joy, playing card games and rummy cup, going out for meals with the family, celebrating her grandchildren's graduations, and visiting National Trust houses and gardens. Her sense of humour was famously dry, quietly delivered, often catching you off guard and always funny. A typical exchange. Grandma, what wine would you like, red or white? What have you got open? I've got red open. Oh, I'll have white then. We also loved her very particular brand of indecision. How's your dinner, Grandma? It's not my favourite. What is your favourite? Oh, I don't know. Over the last few years, we got so used to spending so much time with Grandma that her absence is going to leave a big hole in our lives. She was a quiet but constant presence, thoughtful, kind, always there. She leaves behind so much to be proud of. One of her grandchildren, Amy, married her husband, Jack, and they now have a beautiful 2-year-old, Toby, who Marjorie particularly enjoyed spending time with. She lit up during his visits. Another granddaughter, Sophie, is very soon to be married to her fiancé, Ryan, and we know that Marjorie will be looking down on that day with so much pride. And in spirit, Grandma says, the others better get on with it. I'd like to say a few words from my sister. She was considered by her grandchildren a super cool grandma, the kind who had Facebook and Instagram, not because she wanted to post lots of statuses, updates, or selfies, but because she wanted to stalk her grandchildren. Marjorie Taylor added you on Facebook. Marjorie Taylor loved your Instagram reel. She didn't always get it right, putting sometimes some strange comments or emojis, but for a 92-year-old, she was amazing at embracing the digital world. It's just another way she found to be closer to her dearest. Lastly, I can't help but try to imagine what Grandma's heaven would be like. I expect it is full of gardens and flowers. So I leave you with this. And I dream that these garden closes, with their shade and their sun-flecked sod, and their lilies and bowers of roses, were laid by the hand of God. The kiss of the sun for pardon, the song of the birds for mirth, one is nearer God's heart in a garden than anywhere else on earth.
Family have asked me to share Amy's words that came through on WhatsApp the day after Marjorie passed. Yesterday, I lost my beautiful grandma. She fought so hard. She was truly one of a kind, gentle, warm, full of love, and the kind of person who made my world feel safe. I'll never forget her playing round and round the garden like a teddy bear with me as a child, making me giggle every single time like it was the first, and doing it 1,000 times just to make me happy. Grandmas do that, don't they? She got to meet my son Toby and watch him grow into a little boy, and I'm so thankful that she did. When I was pregnant, I gave her a little baby vest, and that same vest was still by her bed when she passed, thanks to my mum. She loved us so much, and we loved her more. Not being able to see her anymore feels impossible to imagine. Birthdays, Christmases, the everyday moments, they're going to feel so strange without her. Now, I'm not qualified to attempt a Yorkshire accent. Her hugs, her voice, or no. When she didn't quite agree with something, I'm going to miss it so much. I love you so much, Grandma. I'll carry you with me always. Rest in peace. And they're such precious memories, aren't they? And those are the things that you'll be thinking about over these next weeks and months when you have family gatherings and when you share together. And you will still hear her voice and all the little witticisms that she came out with. And so we come to another of Marjorie's choices, which explores the themes of God's steadfast love and its impact on a person's life. It expresses a sense of rest and hope found in the love of Christ. So please stand as we sing, O love that wilt not let me go. as a minister of a church, you can't have favourites. You can't have people that you think about more often than others. But as I said to Marjorie, I woke up to Marjorie most mornings because there was always an accident on the motorway near Brighouse. And I said to her, Marjorie, every morning I wake up, you know, what's wrong with that motorway? But she did always smile at me and almost felt like that was good because I could pray for her first thing in the morning. As I was preparing to speak about our friend and sister in Christ today, three words came to mind to express the essence of who Marjorie was to each one of us. And don't panic, this is not a minister's three-point sermon. Well, it can be. I'm sure Marjorie would have appreciated it. From the words that I receive from friends, I give you three F's: faith, family, and fellowship. And I'll share, but not necessarily in that order. Thank you, Marjorie's family, for the family memories that we've just heard. For those of us who spent time with Marjorie, you know just how important you were to her and how much you were loved by her. Marjorie became a part of our church family when she started attending in September 2019. And she soon settled into church life here because that was who she was. Marjorie was church through and through. And as she reminded me regularly, she was a Methodist. And I can tell she obviously reminded a few others. And as I responded equally regularly, God doesn't care about denominations, just that we love him with all our hearts. And she did. Marjorie became a committed member of our congregation, attending Sunday worship, Bible study, and our weekly meetings and activities. And you can imagine my joy after the Methodist conversation when she finally came into membership in November 2023 and shared her own testimony with each one of us. Debbie recalls that Marjorie soon became a regular member of the Wednesday Fellowship, reading the Bible passage, or she would share her thoughts on a subject that they were discussing. And then she extended her gifting by contributing to the Sunday services when I was away. Marjorie loved singing and had a beautiful voice and could be heard above most voices on a Sunday morning as she worshipped with absolute pure joy. And it's always good standing here because you can see what's going on out there. And her face was beaming as she sang. And I know as her voice faded later on in life how disappointed that she was. She introduced Debbie and the church to green tea. Which Debbie says she still can't get her head around. And I, like Debbie, was pleased that she stocked, yes, you guessed it, Yorkshire tea in her apartment too. Her love for fellowship extended to our tea and cake afternoons, and she saw it as her mission to invite her friends from Trinity to come and join us, and then to Sunday roast dinners. She was instrumental after COVID in getting them started again, as she missed the chance to share a meal in fellowship with her church family. Debbie says that Marjorie loved the social events that we held. She was extremely sharp at Beetle Drive. Sharp, I think that was fierce. And she was determined to attend our quiz in May, despite her failing health. For those who know her, her determination was formidable and a real part of who she was. Some of us were invited to celebrate with Marjorie on her 90th birthday. Debbie remembers the wonderful tea at Trinity with all her friends and family around her, and knowing that the gift to the leprosy mission was a present she would cherish, as she was always thought fondly of the charity and the work to eradicate leprosy. And there will be an opportunity to donate to both that charity and to Cancer Research after the service of Thanksgiving, offering boxes at both ends of church. Marjorie was always up for helping, making coffee and walnut cake for our Christmas tea, joining the vegetable team on a Saturday afternoon, and delivering the newsletters around Trinity Place, and being a contact for the community bus that would pick up on a Wednesday. I smiled when you spoke about embracing the digital world, as even during lockdown, she embraced Zoom and still asked me for the link before her ill health finally prevented her from joining us, which was literally just a few weeks before she passed. As Nigel added, she never said a lot, but she never missed a thing. He loved to see her signing into Zoom for the service on a Sunday morning, whether from hospital, from home, or the care home. But he always smiled when he could see her mug of green tea on the camera next to a hymn book. For many of us softy southerners, Marjorie's Yorkshire grit came as an interesting but welcome challenge. When you engaged in conversation with her, she was forthright, she was direct, with an honesty which I, for one, appreciated. I like it said as it is. And we spent much time putting the worlds to rights. Sometimes when she was being really Yorkshire, I would tease her about her Yorkshire ways, and I seemed to have got away with it. For those of us who shared time with Marjorie, remember how important her faith was to her and her gratitude for the prayers both received and shared, particularly over these recent months of ill health. Marjorie's heart was that all would know her Lord, and she went about it quietly but effectively, like inviting us to go and lead the carol services with her friends at Trinity. So faith, family, and fellowship. Each of us will remember Marjorie in different ways. The love that she knew in her Saviour was the love that she could then pour out into each one of us as she trusted and followed him daily. In the reading from 1 Corinthians 13, the way of love, Paul explains what love is and what love isn't. This Christ-like, selfless love, generous, faithful, kind, concern for the well-being of another, is called by Paul the greatest gift of all. Later, he goes on to describe it as a fruit of the Spirit. True love is characterized as patient and slow to anger, kind and gentle to all, unselfish and giving, truthful and honest, and encouraging, enduring, and without end. Do we recognize those qualities around us? Or is it only when we stop to consider the life of those that we love and have loved that the person they live to be causes us to smile as we remember them? Marjorie lived her life as her Saviour commanded, knowing the love of God in her own heart. She loved God and she loved her neighbour, each one of you who will continue to carry a part of her in your own hearts. And that invitation from God is available to us all when we trust in him alone. As we celebrate Marjorie's life, give thanks for all that she was to each one of you, and go forward in hope, for love is supreme, because love lasts forever. We love because God first loved us. Praise God for his everlasting love, which is beyond all measure and greater than our own understanding. Marjorie's confidence in her Saviour means that she is now at home and at peace with him, safe in the arms of the Lord that she loved, her hope and trust in him fulfilled. Amen. And so we're going to sing Marjorie's favourite hymn, so you better sing it well. And the one that she chose when she came into membership, her hymn expresses again profound love, respect and worship towards God, which she had throughout her life. So let's stand together if you're able. I'm sure that she'll get her own back when we get to heaven. But I think as we've been singing Marjorie's hymns, we recognise a theme that's been running through her choices, and that is love. And so let's pray. Creator God, we thank you that you are a loving, gracious God. Thank you that you've offered us forgiveness and the gift of new life in you. Thank you that your love is perfect, it never fails, and that nothing can separate us from your love. Help us to love as you love. Grant strength for each moment, wisdom for new decisions, patience in the journey of grief, and the assurance that love transcends even death's divide. Fill us with your spirit, so that we can choose what is best. Thank you that you equip us to face each day with the power of your love, your forgiveness, and your grace. Amen. So we'll have a go at Marjorie's last choice. And I want you to pay particular attention to verse 3, because I do believe that is Marjorie's reality now. Let's stand. There is a Redeemer. Marjorie's wishes were that we should have a tea. And so please, after we've seen the visual tribute and music, go through to the schoolroom and we can share more memories together. And if you would like to donate to Leprosy Mission or Cancer Research, please place your money in the boxes. And so I pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated.